Hi everyone, it's Josh here. I just wanted to let you know that Lovecraft Esque, the storytelling card game of creeping cosmic horror, is heading for a second edition crowdfunding on Backerkit in October. It's a much improved version of an already great game. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you will have heard us playing it, and if you haven't, I recommend you go and check those episodes out. And if you would like to get in on the new edition, there is a link in the show notes, which you can use to sign up for notifications when the campaign launches. Welcome to Black Armada Tales, an actual play podcast. My name is Josh Fox. My pronouns are he and him. Stop laughing, everyone. And with me today, I have at the top of the alphabet.
My name's Becky Annison. I will be playing Lieutenant Emily Loris, also known as Hellcat. That's the Ares playbook, and our pronouns are she and her.
My name's Ed Tomlinson. I'll be playing the Scorpio playbook, which is Dr. Tobias Roy, the greatest scientist the world has ever known. And my pronouns are he and him.
My name is Nick Bate. I'm playing the Taurus playbook, Commander Sam Buckley, Captain of the Hecate. We share the he/him pronouns, and every time I hear myself say Taurus, it sounds like I'm saying Torres. So,
Good Star Trek reference there.
Hello, my name is Sue Elliott, and I'm in charge of the Gemini playbook. And my character is called Sonia Vega, and our pronouns are she and her.
I was just checking for whether you were actually going to read that off your little notepad, because when I was listening to the podcast, it reminded me that you have to write it down. And then I was also wondering whether you had to write your own name down just in case it's a particularly bad day.
That's easy to
It's
get.
it has been done. Not today, but it has been done.
And we are playing Last Fleet, written by me. Bang. You are knocked to the ground and you're knocked unconscious. And the next thing anybody hears about it is that the captain is in sick bay in critical condition.
Sounds like you need a doctor.
I mean, everyone's going to know, right, that something's gone horrendously wrong on the Hecate because presumably alarms go off and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
It's the bridge, I guess.
yeah, I don't quite know what happens when you blow up the bridge of a ship in those terms, but since we know that you have caused Enrique to survive, he will be in a position to raise the alarm.
Do I take a pressure because of Sam?
Ooh. Because you think he might be dead?
Well, because he's in critical condition and he might die. I mean, that's what critical condition means, doesn't it? Doesn't it?
Yeah, maybe you all take pressure when you find out.
Well, does Dr. Roy take pressure?
Yeah, because he's still got a relationship with you.
Yeah, okay.
That's true. There could be a way back.
I think, unless Dr. Roy declares that he doesn't give a stuff about the relationship anymore, I think the normal rules apply. So you would take pressure equal to the strength of the relationship.
We take pressure equal to the strength of the relationship.
Yes, you do.
We're doing that now, yeah?
Yeah. Pressure's just rocketed up.
How many pressures have I got?
Does that knock anyone over the edge? Presumably not Dr. Roy because he's like at zero and
No, it's ticking. It's as designed. It is ticking up slowly. So do not worry. Do I get an XP for that though?
No, it's not. You didn't take the move, right?
Right, exactly. No, it's you don't get XP for the GM imposing pressure on you or any shit like that.
Okay. Sam, I'm going to come and deal with that situation. Do not give me pressure without XP.
Yeah, so how did we end that scene with the Admiral? I have a feeling you'd started to make your move and not completed it.
Yes, that's right. So it was, yeah, that's right. Very good reminder. Thank you very much. So, yeah, when we're close enough, say what you feel, and I said lust initially.
Yeah.
I think that's probably right. Do you want me to carry on with the move? I assume you spent the last few weeks thinking about exactly what you're going to say.
Oh, I've thought of nothing else. Let's just rehearse through the steps anyway, you know.
When you get close enough to the enemy that you can reach out and touch them, say what you feel, which was lust, you learn something about the enemy, ask the GM a question. You are calmed and bolstered, erase pressure. I think I'm still pretty calm. The enemy tells you something about yourself, ask the GM what. Right. I would like to know how many members of the Agamemnon are now Korax.
Oh, wow.
Holy shit.
Given that they were trying to recruit you, Hellcat, I suspect that there was an ulterior motive to that.
Ed has been planning this for weeks.
He has.
He's been thinking too hard about this.
Yeah, so I thought maybe they're trying to get some handy pilot genes mixed in with the Korax mushroom powers.
That's funny because Hellcat 100% assumed that they wanted her because she's just a really amazing pilot. And nothing else would ever cross her mind. Even if she found out they're Korax, she'd probably just assume they wanted her for her piloting skills.
Well, that is a very specific question. How many Korax are on board Agamemnon? That's what you're asking.
I mean, yeah, so how widespread is the takeover, the infiltration at this point? Obviously, the Admiral, so it's quite... Yeah, I mean, she can't be the only one, or maybe she is. I mean, that's the question, really.
So I'm imagining that there's a sort of a conversation carried out around the Admiral's bed. And one of you has got out of bed and is kind of getting himself shipshape. I guess my question is, who gets up first? That's just what I'm curious about.
Roy. Roy gets up first.
Okay.
Has a shower. Does he have any clothes there?
Well, he didn't turn up to the meeting naked. So I think you do.
No, but I mean fresh clothes there.
Oh, maybe not. Because you probably weren't expecting to.
Okay, yeah. He puts his clothes back on and sits on the end of the bed.
Cool. I think by the time you come out of the shower, she has sort of got herself not into her uniform, but kind of presentable. She's got some clothes on and she takes your hand and says, I'm so happy about this. This is a great new beginning, Toby.
I think it might be. This could be a turn in fortune for everyone.
Yes. Yes, exactly. For everyone. But it won't be easy. People here don't understand. They don't want to understand. It's going to take some work to change that.
Well, I'm sure with your help we can garner the peace that we're looking for.
Yes, I think so. But it will require a deft hand and great care. We won't be able to move all at once. Tell me what you're thinking.
I'm thinking how we make the necessary plans to separate from the human side of the fleet.
She frowns. Separate.
Yes, surely this is our opportunity to allow them to go on their way and we can go on ours. An end to the conflict, if you will.
But why would we want that?
Well, surely you do not want the total annihilation of a species for no reason.
She looks genuinely puzzled at you for a moment and then she says, You're struggling to come to terms with certain facts, I can see. That's understandable. I will try and help you through this. This is difficult for you. This isn't about annihilation. You should understand that. After all, you are Dr. Roy, are you not?
I believe so.
And I am Admiral Bachmann. We've not destroyed Dr. Roy and replaced him with something else. Have we?
Well,
there is no annihilation here. This is not about destroying a species. This is about unity, togetherness, oneness. And if you search your heart, I think you'll understand that. It's difficult for you because you have spent some time thinking that you weren't part of us. But if you search your heart, you know that you are part of us and part of them. And that's a good thing. That is the end of the conflict, Toby. That's how it ends.
What is it you want from the human DNA that is so important?
It's not about DNA. It's not about simple flesh. It's about bringing our two species together, connecting.
Yeah.
It'll make sense to you, believe me. It's not something I can easily explain in words, but I think where you are now, you're at a turning point. You've reached the top of a hill, and you can see much further now, but perhaps the sheer magnitude of what you can see is, well, it's too much for you right now, but soon your vision will clear and it will all make sense to you. I know that. I have faith in that.
Tell me, are we the only ones on the ship?
No, not the only ones. There are the two others that you've seen yourself in the drive room. Of course, they're hiding for the moment, but they'll come out soon. And there are two more elsewhere in key positions. Well, we haven't been able to take the exact people that we necessarily wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So we have enough to get started with. The problem is, we need more. The drive room was supposed to be the start of something, not the end of it. Something went wrong.
Yes. Well, I thought I was acting alone. Some things are too dangerous and too obvious. Why the drive room?
It's simply a good growth medium. The energy, the heat, that's necessary for us to grow and to fix the form of the avatars. But it's not the only place that we can use. And perhaps you're right. Perhaps, well, I didn't expect it to be detected so quickly.
Well, I have other samples. Would that help?
Very much so. If we can, perhaps we can set up a dedicated area. With your cover as scientific expert, there's an easy rationale for keeping things cordoned off.
Well, perhaps I should go back to the Hecate and retrieve some of my samples, make some excuses and bring them over here.
Well, I made a promise to Commander Buckley that, I guess at this point, news of Commander Buckley's...
Yeah, I don't know whether I know about Buckley yet, do I?
Yeah, I don't think we know about that at this point. I made a promise to Commander Buckley and Colonel Foster that we would shut movement down for a little while. And I think it's wise to keep that promise. If you act too erratically, people will get suspicious. But after all, you are a member of the Hecate team.
Yes.
We should be able to send you over soon, but you did say that you would look over the drive room and collect some samples and advise on how best to cleanse the area, which I suggest that you do before heading back.
Absolutely. I'll take the samples and I'll return to my lab at the Hecate.
Excellent. This is excellent. It's going to be so great to have you on board. There's a knocking on the door and the Admiral's eyes dart to the door and back, and she says, "You'd better wait over there." She slips on her uniform jacket and goes over to the door, and you hear her say, "Oh my goodness, that sounds very serious. and she very briskly leaves the room.
Okay.
You'll get the news shortly after about what's happened on Hecate. Did you feel like you got what you were after there?
Yeah.
Cool.
I suppose there is a second half of the move.
Yeah.
Which you might have done. The enemy tells you something about yourself. I suppose you may have covered
yes.
that.
I think I may have inadvertently given you that for free.
we're human Korax hybrids, basically.
Sort of. That's what she was implying. Something like that.
Or body snatcher-esque. Looky-likeys that aren't really us anymore. Like a bicycle that's had all its parts replaced.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like the old.
Is it the same bike?
Is it the same? Yeah.
He's the Roy of Theseus.
So, should we move to a bedside scene? Is that a good?
So, what I was imagining, Sue, and obviously interject at any point, is that I am sitting next to Sam's bedside, and I might well even have. Josh, I might well have like barreled past some medics to get here who are like, you're not family, and I just, you know, but somehow I'm there, and I was thinking that you might come and find me. Or you might not. You might be like, actually, I don't give a shit about this situation.
Yeah, I'm down spanners.
You're down spanners, drinking one for the captain.
Celebrating.
So... is this like after the initial or emergencies, like state get him stabilized, triaging kind of bit,
yeah.
And he's sort of in intensive care, but the initial kind of flurry of activity is.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm not sure that the rest of the ship, Josh, would even know that it happened until after the initial flurry.
Well, the whole bridge has got blown up, right? So this is probably important to establish. The whole bridge got blown up. Several key members of personnel are therefore dead, and Buckley has been put in critical condition. I think, yes, you're probably right that there would have been a kind of a cordon sanitaire put around the area and attempts made to control the flow of information. But at the end of the day, like, a bomb went off in a key part of the ship. It's not going to be possible. Already, for certain, there will be people who are guessing as to what's happened. Some of them will have guessed correctly. So we're at that kind of Twilight Zone period where it hasn't quite been publicly decided. But it hasn't been decided what exactly to do, and it hasn't been announced what's happened.
I think I've got three questions then, Josh. The first question is, am I right in assuming that the bomb did not breach the hull?
You would be right in assuming that, yes.
Because that feels like that would be a whole different flavour of a situation if we had a gaping hole in the hull right now.
Yeah. It's an anti-personnel.
Anti-personnel. I think my second question is, do we know who's in charge yet?
No.
Have I been given any orders?
No.
Fine. Okay, then I'm at Captain Buckley's bedside without running the risk of getting thrown in the brig for it.
That's fine.
So that's where I am.
Okay.
Are you just crying and crying and crying?
I don't know. Is she crying? I don't think she's at the crying stage right now. I think she's at a kind of a shock, in shock stage. But I was out of character. I was hoping that that Vega, and he said Susie Vega.
See?
New character.
Now I'm thinking of Susie Quattro. But anyway, I was hoping that Vega would come so that I could unburden myself. And all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. So Vega pops her head round sickbay door. And she is not, having heard the news, she is not surprised to see Emily at the bedside. So she just walks straight up to Emily and puts her hand quite firmly on her shoulder. I just heard, Emily, I'm so sorry.
I think that's when Emily bursts into tears.
Vega kind of tries to bundle her up into a big hug and just holds her for as long as she needs.
Emily will totally allow that to happen. She's not in like a... I'm not going to tough this out. This is terrible. And she says, it's only just happened. I don't even know what to... what to think.
What have you heard from the medics?
They're not telling me anything. But they're not telling me anything, but what I picked up from the crew and some of the gossip is that this was a sabotage. They put somebody mind CIC.
Jesus.
Other senior crew are all dead. And I don't know. I don't know if he's going to make it.
He's a pretty strong guy, Emily. And he's got everything and everyone that he needs right here.
I need a favour from you, Vega.
Anything. Give me something to do, please.
We've got to find out who planted that mine. And we've got to space them.
I'll do whatever I can. I mean, it's the least they deserve.
So, just a reminder, is this the naughtiness that I got up to, is planting this bomb in the bridge?
So it would appear.
Did I?
Yes, it's because you made that roll.
Yes, yes you did, Dr. Roy. You blew up my lover.
I don't remember.
And I am going to fucking space you for it when I find out.
Have you got any proof that that was me?
Not yet, but I've just put Vega on it.
I believe you specifically chose for there to not be any proof.
Oh, well, that's right then. That's really unfortunate.
I think that's right, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is.
Wasn't it like it couldn't be traced back to you?
But you didn't have time to do anything about it, and there would be widespread
consequences. So that's right. As you discovered warning signs, and you won't, there will be potentially widespread consequences, but left any telltale evidence. Right. Okay. Yeah, I vaguely remember picking those, but I didn't know it was going to be a big bomb. I thought this was somebody else's doing for a change.
I didn't expect that leopards would eat my face.
It wasn't supposed to blow me up anyway. I pulled that one on Josh.
Yeah.
Anyway, continue.
Thank you, Vega.
What's your plan? Are you just going to stay here now?
I hadn't really thought about it. I mean, what if he wakes up and there's no one here? What if the person who did this tries again?
I mean, if the target was just Buckley, then I feel like there's easier ways of doing it than just blowing up the bridge. I mean, they were trying to do maximum damage, whoever they are.
It wouldn't take much then to finish him off now.
He's going to be all right. I know it.
I'm at least going to stay here until I've got some orders to fly somewhere. I mean, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I just... You might get called away. I mean, this is a ship-wide emergency now. But, yeah, stay here.
Yeah. Okay. All right, I'll roll reach out, for God's sake.
So a rules lawyer in every game, isn't there?
No, this one's a bloody GM.
Rules.
If you don't roll it, you're not going to get the XP and you're not going to get the pressure thing.
Okay, I'm going to roll to reach out then. It's warm, isn't it?
Can you use your relationship?
Oh yes, I can use my relationship. Thank you. Because my relationship's going to be much better than my war.
Oh, you can use your relationship to reach out. That's an interesting decision that I made there.
Can you? Is that? Am I lying?
I don't remember. Every time this comes up, I forget which moves it's eligible for.
Wasn't it helping?
It is okay for helping. I don't remember what else because I'm a bad, bad game designer.
You heard it here first, folks.
I need to know what I've got to roll on.
Support, interfere, pull strings, or call them on their shit.
So, no. It has to be warm?
Yeah.
Are you warm?
No. I'm raw. That's what I am. But I did roll a 9.
She's back in the game.
Nice. So one of you gets the pressure benefit.
You get to raise the pressure.
Can I raise the pressure then? Or
one of you does.
Sue, how much pressure have you got? Do you need to remove some pressure?
I have got 4 pressure.
Well, you should take it then, because I've only got 3.
Thank you.
That's okay. And then our relationships, do our relationships both go up by 1?
They do, yes.
I'm a max relationship with Sonya Vega.
Wow.
Yes.
Max as in three.
Correct. So don't you go dying on me.
Fine if I do. It's...
So I think Enrique, the Marine commander,
okay,
is going to come in, and he sort of stands awkwardly by the door, noticing that you're both there. He's got a little bit of bandaging around his face.
For the toothache,
yeah. You haven't got any information about what happened, I guess, in detail, no. Right? So you probably don't know why he's got bandaging around his face, but he does.
I will just turn and look at him, like, waiting for him to say something, basically.
I don't want to interrupt anything here. I just wanted to come and pay my respects.
He's not dead.
Yeah, I know. I know. Even so. I remember describing Enrique as being kind of young-looking for a Marine commander. He does look a bit kind of hesitant.
Do you know what happened, Enrique?
Yeah. Yeah, I was there. The captain saved my life. The bomb. I saw it just before it went off. And I tried to pull him out of the way, but he threw himself over me instead.
That sounds like Buckley.
Yeah. I kind of chewed him out recently about some of the decisions that he's made.
You shouldn't feel bad about that, Enrique. I did it too.
Yeah.
It was a stupid decision. You made the right call.
I don't know, I've got all this gestures to his face, but I've got off lightly, and they're making me stay here to check that I'm okay. I'm at a loose end, I don't know what to do, and the captain's lying here. Anyway, I don't want to bother you with that.
Look, if you're stuck here anyway, well, I'd appreciate if you keep an eye on him. I might have to go if I get ordered away, and he's just really vulnerable right now.
Yeah, of course.
You know, somebody wanted to blow up the bridge. They wanted to do a lot of damage and kill some of the high command, and he's just really vulnerable.
Yeah, they must have wanted to take him out, right?
Yeah.
You don't blow up the bridge, not trying to get the captain.
Yeah.
And it was just pure luck that I was standing there anyway. I wouldn't normally be there. I don't think they were trying to get the likes of me.
If he hadn't been talking to you, he'd probably been standing right next to the console. He'd have probably just walked in and stood right next to the bomb, and we wouldn't even be having this conversation, so...
Yeah, that thought had crossed my mind. As you're standing there talking, two more Marines appear at the door, and behind them is the CAG, Catan. And Catan says, "Sorry to interrupt, but Captain Alagona, you're coming with us." Alagona looks a bit nonplussed by this.
"What's going on, Commander?"
"Somebody planted a bomb on that bridge, and Alagona was not where he is normally expected to be. We are going to be interrogating suspects. We need to find out what happened. The Admiral's placed me in temporary command of the ship."
"Is she going to say something?" "Yeah, she's going to say something. She's going to say, you?"
"Yes, me."
"She's not sent Colonel Forster over?"
"There's a quarantine in force."
"You're in charge of the ship, sir."
"Yes, Loris, I am. And I've got some good news for you. There's no CAG at the moment."
"That is very good news."
"So guess who gets to be pro tem CAG?" "Not my decision, I hasten to add. The Admiral asked for you specifically."
"Are we flying any missions then, pro tem captain?"
"We're not going anywhere right now. We're not expecting any external threats. There's a roster of patrols and other requirements on my desk. Your desk for now. I suggest you go and study it. Right now, the priority is finding out what the hell happened. and making sure that whoever did it is rounded up and put in the airlock. And he looks meaningfully at Alagona.
It wasn't Alagona.
You don't know that. Nobody knows that. Alagona sort of shakes his head and says, he's right. He's right. We have to do this by the book.
I guess I'd better go and look at duty rosters then.
Yes, you had.
Hope your handwriting's neat.
And then he sort of frowns and looks at you, Vega. I think you'd better escort this civilian out of here, gentlemen. We can't have uncleared personnel up here. Not right now.
Thanks, Catan. I know my way around.
Good.
I'll come and see you later, Loris. You should talk to him. I've heard that they can still hear you, even when they're unconscious.
Maybe you can help me with the duty rosters.
Vega, Catan says. Needless to say, no information about this can leave this place. We're still managing the story. I don't want to create a panic.
Of course.
Good. And he fucks off together with his arrestee.
Oh, man. Unless there's a compelling reason, by which I mean military police, not to, I'm going to take the contents of Catan's desk and spread them out over Buckley and do my work from here.
At some point, somebody might come and tell you that you're not allowed to do that, but you're the CAG, so no one's going to stop you coming into this area. Congratulations.
Oh, God.
You were all fabulous, but I think we can all agree that I absolutely nailed it in that scene.
Ah, you were amazing.
I found you very believable.
Oh, I thought there would be a moment where you'd like a little tear would well up in the corner of your comatose eye. Just to add gravitas to the scene.
Thanks for listening to Black Armada Tales. We've been playing Last Fleet by me, Josh Fox. You can find more information about Last Fleet and the rest of our stuff in the show notes. And don't forget, we've got Lovecraft Desk 2nd Edition coming to crowdfunding on Backerkit very soon, and there's a link to sign up for notifications about that also in the show notes. See you next time. But first, let's discuss how we're going to do it. Sorry, no fucking clue.
Maybe Samantha Roy's the poorly constructed clone on the Agamemnon at the moment.
Samantha Buckley could come in and be like Sam's sister.
I was going to say, a twin, identical twin sister come to revenge Sam.
Unfortunate period of his convalescence.
We had the grimmest parents.
Is that when it suddenly becomes a weird sort of cheap sci-fi soap opera situation?
Suddenly.
So the problem we've got is that Commander Buckley is in critical condition, and it would obviously be a bit rubbish if we just said, but then he's awake again straight away. So there should be a period in which he's out. But I don't want to keep him out for a whole session, because I think that's not boring for you. So I was...
I did wonder about whether there was an evil Buckley and whether Nick would want to play evil Buckley for a session while good Buckley was unconscious.
Just to say, I'm quite content to observe. And if that ends up running for a whole session, that is absolutely fine by me. You're all a pack of legends and watching you is a joy. And so don't worry about that, Josh.
I think we should role play a Buckley dream sequence. I think that's the only way around
a it. A musical dream sequence.
Perfect.
Yes. Ooh. Yeah, preferably.
You haven't heard my singing voice.
Those episodes are always the most popular for reasons that escape me. I was thinking that we might like do some scenes in which Buckley being unconscious is a thing. We can play out people's reactions to it and also any sort of political shenanigans that are going on, and then try to bring him back in the second half of the session, which at the rate we play might prove to be totally impossible. But yeah, that's kind of where my mind was going.
Yeah, that's,
or we could give you an NPC to play or something like that. You could play Enrique or...
Honestly, I think where my head's at, I would prefer to observe. Yeah.
So no to the evil Buckley idea then. Disappointing.
I don't think I want to
play
evil Buckley.
I don't see how we could do a scene with evil Buckley, because everybody would be like, hang on a minute though, aren't you in...
Well, and previously, evil Buckley was voiced by Josh. So,
Oh, I didn't even do my Australian accent.
No.
Oh, mate.
And we're all quite thankful for the fact you didn't do the Australian accent.
Yes.
That was my Australians wouldn't give a Castlemaine 4X accent specifically.
A classic ad. I'm sure you had it in Australia, Nick.
Yeah, 4X was north of the border.
Oh.
Oh, that's interesting, because whenever I talk to Australians, they were like, I've never heard of that beer in my life. So I just thought it was just made up, but it is an Australian beer somewhere in Australia.
4X is a Queensland beer, I think. Tui's right. In New South Wales, Carlton in Vic Bitter in Victoria.
Victoria, yeah.
Yeah.
But what about Foster's, the one that Crocodile Dundee drinks over
God, there? Nobody drinks Foster's. I'm not even sure you can buy it. Nah.
But Crocodile Dundee.
Now, first time I went to Germany, I was 16 years old. They took me to an Australian theme bar and ordered me a Foster's so that I'd feel, you know, welcomed. It's filthy stuff, and why would I want to?
It's the worst. Yeah. It's legit the worst beer in the universe, possibly Carling.
Well, you heard it here first.
Anyway.
Foster's, if you would like to sponsor us.
Please don't. Hard pass.
Do you want a crate of Foster's turning up at your doorstep?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever drunk Foster's.
Thanks for mentioning our beer on your podcast. Here's the complimentary vat of beer for you to get through.
Maybe they've got an AI that just automatically sends beer to anybody who says the word Foster's on a podcast. Yeah,
I've got to do something with it.
Maybe they operate some kind of reverse sponsorship, so you have to pay them to keep their products yeah. away from you.
Just keep pouring through the door until you say... You recant.